It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. The Ryder Cup teams have been announced. The Ryder Cup will take place September 25th through October the 1st at Marco Simone Golf and Country Club in Rome, Italy. On the European side, the players include Ludvig Åberg, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrell Hatton, Nikolai Højgaard, Victor Hovland, Shane Lowry, Robert McIntyre, Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, Justin Rose, and Sepp Straka. The captain for the European team is Luke Donald, with his assistant captains being Thomas Bjorn, Nicholas Kolsarts, Eduardo Molinari, Francesco Molinari, and Jose Maria Olazabal. On the United States team, you have Sam Burns, Patrick Cantlay, Wyndham Clark, Ricky Fowler, Brian Harman, Max Homa, Brooks Koepka, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, Scottie Scheffler, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Thomas. The United States team is captained by Zach Johnson, and his assistant captains are Steve Stricker, Davis Love III, Jim Furyk, Fred Couples, and Stuart Sink. Don't forget the Ryder Cup being played in Italy. Yeah, going to be early in the morning when you want to get up and watch for that, but in a couple of years, it'll be back in the United States at Bethpage Black. We've got a lot to get to here on this edition of From the Short Grass. I sit down with country music singer Joe Nichols. I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. Blackman Auctions, since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Find them on the web, blackmanauctions.com. Look at their upcoming list of upcoming auctions. It might be a farm equipment auction. It might be a home auction. You never know what you're going to find at Blackman Auctions, but you will find an auction that you would want to attend. We'll be back with more after this. Stay with us.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens. Member NYSE SIPC.
I'm Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. I've heard it said that sometimes there are two best days with real estate ownership. It's the day you buy it and the day you sell it. Depending on where you are in your journey, let me help. If you're looking for that outdoor getaway or that home in the city, I can help. If you're looking at selling that outdoor property you haven't seen in 3 years, I can help. Or selling that home in the city that you've outgrown, I can help. Blackman Auctions is your one-stop real estate company. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. I had a chance to travel to the Colony, Texas, just outside of Dallas, where Joe was going to perform on a night, and he invited me onto his tour bus so we could record this podcast interview. It was fun being on the bus, I might add, and Joe Nichols has a ton of energy, and I think it's going to come across in this interview, and he really loves the game of golf. On the tee, Joe Nichols.
Joe, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. You're looking great, man. How are you feeling?
Thank you, brother.
Well, I feel, old man used to tell me, I feel like a mule ate me and then pooped me off a cliff. That's kind of what I feel like these days. I like to intro big shows just that way, right? Yeah. There, where guys just say, how are you doing? I like to say something really crude and just let everybody know it's downhill from here, man.
Well, there you go.
You shouldn't have had me on your show.
You're about to play. You're back out on the road playing all the time now. That has to feel good.
It's crazy. It's really great. You know, the opportunities that our last single, Good Day for Living, you know, opened up.
Mm-hmm.
We had a busy schedule as it is. You know, we usually hang in that 50, 60 dates a year anyway, even, you know, when we're outside of single cycles and album launch cycles. So we got back to work after, 21, and I think it was around Memorial Day of 21. We just said, you know, let's just take them as they come and let's fill up the schedule. Then, boom, our single hits, and we're like, all right, well, let's just take a little more. And then we have a 18-month really successful song that's really kind of opened, like I said, opened a lot of up a lot of success for us throughout the country. So we're taking all the dates, you know, that we can handle. And right now we're hanging on by a thread at some points because the schedule is so full. And that's, like I said, that's the blessing of Good Day for Living and new music like the song we have out there now, Broken Hearted, which is starting off incredibly well. And so we've got a lot of things happening.
Do you find time to play golf? Because I know you love the game.
I find time to watch this guy, pointing to my bass player over here, Michael Jeffers. This guy plays golf on the PlayStation every morning.
Yeah.
And I pick up what I can from his game. Of course, it all looks like Jordan out there shooting threes, you know, on the. But I say, oh, that's exactly what I look like. You know, when I'm on the course, I just, you know, I lined it up, 190, sand wedge, you know, in the hole.
When did you first pick up the game? When did you first fall in love with it?
I was probably, I had never picked up golf, never really cared to pick up golf until I decided to be a musician full time. And I moved to Fort Smith, Arkansas, and there was a guy down there who was going to help me out, start a band. And turned out, you know, he's that's a totally different show we should have for that. But he said, you know, one of the things you got to do, Nichols, is you got to get on the golf course, you know, and have a good time, you know, because we're going to be touring a lot, you're going to be working a lot. And this is one of the ways you can wind down, and you could probably even get good enough and make a little money at it. You know, all you got to do is act like you're bad for 9 or 10 holes, and then start betting a little money by the end of that day. If you got no money in your pocket, you know, $20 in your pocket, you might have 100 when you're done if you get good at it.
That's right.
So I got just redneck good, which is you know, you play the first 10 holes like they're supposed to be played. You play up here, you lay up there, and then 12, 13 hole, everybody's had a few Budweisers in them. All of a sudden, you're cutting it over treetops, and you're
right,
screaming it through little wooded areas. You know, going out of bounds to go inbounds, and you know, that's you can make a little money that way. You know,
we played together last year at the Justin Moore St. Jude Celebrity Tournament at Chenal Country Club. Very nice, nice course. You like to give back, don't you?
Absolutely, when I can. Yeah, it's the best thing for your soul. You know, I'll share this a little bit. I got sober almost 5 years. We're coming up on 5 years now, October 1st.
Well, congrats.
And one of the most important lessons I learned through that is I can only hold on to this if I give it back to people. And that applies to all parts of your life. And that's money. That's, you know, charity, how you look at work, how you look at people giving for you. I can only hang on to what I got if I give away. If I give. That's, you know, if you want to look at it selfishly, it's a little selfish that way too. But there's a lot of good spiritual growth in being able to go do things for people. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Or I didn't want to drive all the way down to Little Rock that day. We were really worn out, and I remember being tired that day. And like, but you know what? I told my friend I'd be here. And, you know, even after we played, I'm like, man, I really got to get home. I haven't seen my kids in a month.
Right.
And, you know, I really want to be here for the award ceremonies, which we probably won, didn't we?
I think we finished second.
There you go. See, I mean,
unfortunately, but yeah.
Something like that. I mean, it was. So I skipped our podium ceremony.
Yep.
but I learned that lesson that you can only hang on to what you have by giving it away.
Well, you know? I know that we had a lot of fun that day, and I can tell that you love the game and you like to work at it. Are you self-taught?
Yes. Well, I got some lessons, you know, kind of sarcastically, really. I asked one golf pro when I was at a driving range early on. I think I had paid him already. And, of course, I went out there and just dug 13 divots into the ground. And I'm getting frustrated. I'm mad. I'm swinging as hard as I can. I could swing pretty hard. Just couldn't hit anything. Just And I finally looked back at the guy and I said, man, what am I doing wrong? And he, with a beer in his hand, he goes, man, you're standing too close to it after you hit it.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm like, that's, you're fired, first of all. But that's great advice.
I've heard that one before. But yeah, it is great advice. One thing that I noticed with you, though, is you could hit the ball a mile.
Thank you, man.
I mean, you can really hit it.
Some things you just can't punch, you know, so you got to hit it with a club.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's true. Though. Appreciate it. It's the other stuff that comes with golf.
Right.
You know, it's not just, you know, can you hit the ball? It's can you hit it straight
without right.
hitting other people?
Right.
And
or other objects.
Yeah. Can you not throw your golf club? That's another part of the game that's, you know, that takes years of practice not to throw clubs.
We're sitting here on your bus. Do the clubs go with you on the road?
They used to. I'll tell you, you know, sometimes they do. When we have, I hope we'll have a summer next year that's a little less intense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had a really intense summer this year. And what I mean by that is, you know, we'll have five shows in a row. And then we'll have one day in between and then three or four shows in a row. We've done that a couple times this year. And it's really, it taxes every part of you to be moving that much, performing that much, and then moving that much without rest or anything like that. So it's been like that, a version of that, pretty much since we really started rolling, maybe February or something like that this year. So that's an intense year that when we have years like that, I need to be either in the gym in the morning and asleep by the afternoon and the show at night. That's got to work like that. If
right.
I'm on the golf course spending 5 hours, even though it's a relaxing kind of environment, it kind of goes hand in hand with doing stuff and being busy. And all of a sudden at the end of the night, you're still tired. In the morning, you're going to do it again. You're going to be tired again. So like I said, the opportunities to sleep this year, I've had to just throw the golf course or the golf clubs, you know, in the garage for a little while and say, this has got to be a sleep year.
When you do get them out playing close to home, I mean, you've got a course there in Tyler.
Yeah, I live on
course. Is that a place that you just go out and you can relax, you can get away from everything else?
It is, but they know my member number. So if I wreck anything, by gosh, I get a note.
Have you done that before?
I have. I've actually, I don't remember the last one I got, the last note I got, but it was about something. I bought a golf cart. And this is funny. This is a little redneck. This is Arkansas Joe that comes out in a country club in East Texas. All the spine surgeons live out there. Now, I got a new golf cart. Now, I'm pretty proud that I have the uniformed golf cart. It has to be white and it has to look a certain way. And I did all that, paid my money for this at this golf cart place. The only difference is this golf cart can go like 30, 35 miles an hour easily.
Oh,
quickly
boy.
And get there fast.
No governor on it.
And so, a guy asked me when I pulled it off the lot, he goes, man, you want me to pull that down to Holly Tree's, you know, restriction? Like, it's like 16 miles an hour. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'll just keep it under 15, 16.
You got a speeding ticket on the golf course.
Speeding ticket on the golf course. And they put a note on my house and they're like, hey, we know you got to go new golf cart. It looks great. It's fantastic. Sounds good. I got a sound system and everything. And they're like, that's great. But can you try to keep it under 20 for the golf course? Because it really scares people, you know, to have some dudes out there driving that fast. You
right.
know, it's not a four-wheeler. And so I'm like, did I do that?
Does it have seat belts?
Oh, yeah, it's got seat belts. It's got helmets, everything. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
When you get out and play, I mean, what do you like to do? Do you try to shoot like a certain score? What do you work on?
I play for the score until I hit an 8, and then I give up and say, well, today I'm just practicing. But if I have like, you know, if I start off the day with like 7 holes where I'm like 2 over or, you know, or close to even, you know, maybe 3 or 4 over on the first 9, I'm like, all right, this is the day. I'm going to shoot maybe like an 80. This is going to be the day I shoot like a 78. And then we'll make the turn, and somewhere around 10 or 11 I'll hit a 7. on a par 4, and I'll be like, all right, I'm just going to work on my short games this year. And I'll just start swinging like I don't care. And then all of a sudden, you know, before you know it, I'm 12 over.
When you have time and golf is on TV, golfers that are must watch for Joe Nichols, who do you want to watch when they're playing?
I was a Tiger guy because I always thought the excitement was there. You know, anything could happen with that guy. It wasn't just the talent, is that he had a really good amount of luck on his side, and you can tell when guys just have a lot of the good combination. Oh, football's like this. You know, you can tell when the teams are good and lucky, you know, and those guys usually win a lot. So I like to watch Tiger because the crowds were exciting and the shots he took were exciting. He went for it a lot, and since him, you know, there's some matchups that are good, you know, because of the, you know, kind of the outrage that some guy will show over the other guy, and, you know, this McElroy thing, and was it Phil Mickelson and some of the LIV guys, and Patrick Reed, I guess, yeah. You know, if they were in a match, you know, it's entertaining to see something like that. Cause, you know, again, the Arkansas in me kind of wants these guys to duke it out. Like fifth hole, one guy says the wrong
just
thing.
Drop just drop clubs and go at it, right?
Or hang on to your clubs and sword fight, you know? Just like Will Ferrell and what's his face? And Step Brothers, just get a golf club and sword fight in the front yard.
Yeah, break a couple Step of Brothers. Shafts. Yeah, those can be expensive to replace.
I want to see that kind of stuff. Again, you know, this is my you can't take the Arkansas out of the kid.
Is there a tournament, Joe, that you have to watch? I mean, for some people, it's the Masters yeah. or U.S. Open or even the Open Championship over in the British Open.
Yeah, I like
the
British Open.
We call it. So that's yeah. one.
I like the British Open because it is, you know, as everybody knows, you know, you're basically playing in a swamp, you know, and you're knee-high grass, you know, and it's just anybody can win that. I saw a dude. What was that guy's? Angel something had that amazing run that year, and he looked like he's about 60. Had a ponytail, kind of strutting more around the course. A Spaniard, I think he was, and he just kind of strutting around the course and like, I'm going to win this. And we're like, no way, this guy looks like he just plays, you know, every other Sunday at home,
right.
at the public course, and he's out there killing it on that British Open course, St Andrews, and I watch that every now and then. But I like the Masters. There's something cool about the Masters. I know all the you know, the rules and regulations of the place, you know, they only take certain kinds of commercials and there's only a certain amount of things, you know, done for the Masters. And it's kind of like NCAA tournament. Like, I don't know any of these teams, but it's fun to watch them. You know, this is all the best.
How good is your bass player when he gets on the game? Does he get to play Augusta National on there?
On the game? On PS?
On the game.
It's like watching Tiger, only he's created a character that looks just like him, which is this cool, like, shaggy headed beard and like cool glasses.
Yeah.
And then dressed like in like a pastel pink. You know.
Isn't it crazy? Pastel pink. Joe, isn't it crazy though that how realistic it looks?
It is pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. You know, like I said, it's realistic, you know, to somebody with a good golf game like Michael Jeffers.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of these guys. We play golf a lot.
Yeah.
And outside of the game.
Does he give you any strokes?
No, that guy's no, absolutely not. He's steady Eddie, man.
He
just like
take
he
your
plays.
Money, does he?
We don't play for money.
Oh, no, what do y'all play for? Pride.
Pride's plenty. You sit on a 45-foot can, tin can with guys.
Y'all need to get like a traveling trophy or something to play for.
It's funny you mentioned that. We do have trophies that have been won and lost for other things on the bus. I think that's a good idea for another trophy.
Yeah.
I happen to own all the trophies. Right now, I don't know. And it's not just because I pay the bill. It's because I won them all. Fair and square, I think.
Let me ask you this question. If you could write a golf song, what would the title be?
Golf is a four-letter word. Always
heard
that.
How would it go?
And it's absolutely true. It would start off with, well. That's it. Yeah. Rat farts.
Yeah.
the what's his face? Caddyshack. Yeah.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. Best golf course Joe Nichols has ever played?
Well, we played one in Las Vegas that was immaculate, and I can't remember the name of it, but
Shadow Creek?
That's the Wynn guy.
Yeah, the Wynn.
I don't think it was that one. Do you remember the name of it, Jeffers?
It was
super nice. They gave us each our own caddy, and
were they in the white bibs?
He had the coveralls.
Okay.
And he rode on kind of on the back of one of the carts, and he kind of switch up. And there was four of us playing, three or four of us playing, and he kind of had to go, and each guy go, all right, now go over here. You want to maybe hit 50 yards this way, and then it's going to take a turn, and make sure you watch out for this. It's actually going to play a lot farther than it looks. And he did that with each individual guy. This guy was out of breath. It was 105 degrees outside.
Did you hit it where he told you to hit it?
No, and I'm sure he's like, what am I doing this for? I'm caddying for guys that don't know what they're doing out here. It's got to be a defeating kind of day for him because he could probably get out there and shoot better than we were shooting. But we tipped him well at the end of that day. That guy earned it.
Hey, you got to do that. You got to take care of your
caddies. I think by the time it was over, the guy's like, yeah, just hit it toward the flag. Yeah.
The green's down there somewhere.
You'll get it eventually. See you tomorrow.
You're a big Razorback fan.
Yes, sir.
How many games do you get to, and what's your favorite sport? Is it football or basketball or baseball?
I can't tell what my favorite is between the big – I think the big three might be big four now with softball doing the way it is. I can't tell what my favorite is because they all get me excited, and they all frustrate me beyond what is a healthy level of just walking around okay with things. You know, basketball's intense. I love that there's two games a week, and then when you get in a tournament, a game every day, you know, or every other day. I love that. I love that we've been good enough to get deep into tournaments.
Not a question of will we be in it.
Right.
Where are they going
how
now?
How far
are they going
to go? Yeah. How deep. The football team, I'll tell you what, and I say this, my wife says it every year. I'll make statements throughout the spring and throughout the summer, but I'll eventually make it to this one statement, and she knows the moment.
Oh, boy.
And she'll say to me, go ahead and say it.
Oh, boy.
And I'll go, this is our year. She said, I say it every year, and even in the years we go like Chad Morris years, we go like
two and ten.
And you know, like I said, well, I don't know, they're pretty good. They turned it around. 2019 could be our year. She's like, say it. And I'm like, this is our year.
And then what happened?
We had two and ten again.
So this year,
so we got Sam.
Do you want to say it right here on From the Short Grass?
First of all, honey, if you're listening, get off my phone. I would like to say that this year we look better than any other Sam Pittman team, I think. Watching constant practice video, practice reports. I watched the spring game, I don't know, maybe 25 times. I watched all the SEC West spring games over and over again. I saw LSU looking at what everybody could be so hyped up about. And they're good, but I don't get what everybody's saying as far as dominant. You know, there are dominant teams. And I've seen them, and it pops on their spring game sometimes, like when they get a lot of returners. Spring game, to me, is the best way to evaluate how many guys are going to actually be on the roster. There's some transfers, you know, between here and there, but for the most part, that's the team you're dealing with. And what I saw, LSU was good. There were some good defensive pieces that Perkins is going to be good. The offensive line is young. They made mistakes. The quarterback made a lot of mistakes. He made a lot of mistakes that KJ has taken a lot of, you know, grief for, you know, hitting, missing guys that are open over the middle. You know, he was sailing them over their heads, that Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be good. LSU, I'm talking about LSU. But I don't get why they're any better than Arkansas. Like I said, I would prefer our situation in a lot of areas. So I'd say it probably is closer to even than most people think. I watched Bama, and their quarterback situation is a mess.
Yeah.
But they have dudes at every other spot. Like they have different kind of guys where their ankles and their elbows, everything is just wide.
It's everything different.
Looks like a trunk. And so dudes are just running around, and they have, you know, it just looks like a foot wide leg, you know, ankle. And so Alabama's got those guys. And you're like, I don't know how you move those guys around. But their quarterback's a mess. If Alabama had KJ, I'd say they'd win a national championship and it wouldn't be close. But they don't have that guy. I believe that we're going to be good. I'm going to call it now. I'm going to say 10-2. I'm going to say we shock either LSU and or Alabama. And we're going to lose one we're not supposed to. We're going to lose one sandwiched in there somewhere. And I hope it's not A&M because I'm tired of that.
Yeah.
I live amongst A&M fans, and I can't hear that anymore about how dominant A&M is. And I'm like, man, the score might say you're dominant, but your teams are garbage. We just keep losing to a garbage team by 2 points.
I'll tell you what scares
me. Chad Morris almost beat you.
I'll tell you what scares me about A&M is Bobby Petrino as the offensive coordinator. If Jimbo lets him call the plays.
I don't think it's going to happen. Watch that spring game. If you watch, like I said, I watched all of them. I watched that spring game to see if that was Bobby Petrino's offense. Kind of it was, but it was kind of Jimbo's same offense.
Okay.
And I saw Jimbo calling the plays, and I saw Petrino giving input. You'd think it'd be the other way around.
Right.
You'd think Trino call plays, Jimbo would give input. But that's what I saw. And I'm like, oh, no. Because knowing Bobby Petrino, eventually if things are going wrong for him and it's your fault, that dude is not shy.
No.
And he is not nice. And he will blow up, even if it's his boss. And I see that train coming. It's wrecking.
Real quick, couple more questions. Razorback family has been hit hard this year with – deaths, Chris Smith, Ryan Mallett, Alex Collins. Reggie Chaney passed away, a former basketball player. And then the guy that handles Tusk, Keith Stokes, passed away unexpectedly as well.
Wow, Keith Stokes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow. It's the oddest thing I think I've ever seen any kind of program go through. The Alex Collins one really stunned me because I know Alex. I knew Alex, and he's been out to several shows and was always – he's a big country fan. Mm-hmm. So he's been up here on the bus hanging out and telling us about his lacrosse because he loved lacrosse and loved eventually the Irish dancing.
I was going to say, he also loved Irish dancing, too.
Yeah, yeah. He was an interesting guy. I think he had so many things that you would go, really? That interests you, and he's just such a likable character.
He packed a lot into his 28 years, didn't he?
He absolutely did, and had the room smiling with him. That's another thing that not a lot of people can say. I know I'm not like that. You know, a lot of times I don't have the room smiling most of the time. I can be a miserable person to be around. But my experience with Alex is that he was always a fun guy, and always a smiling guy, and always had other people smiling, and always happy. You know, ready for a good time. Let's make this fun. Whatever we're going to do, let's make it fun. And that's heartbreaking. Just too young. Even Mallett being, 33, 35, you know, even that's, he's still a young guy, you know, with. But anyway, I've never seen anything like it. And so we've got something I think we're going to work on in particular with Alex that we're going to try to put together in his honor, hopefully with the Razorback Foundation.
Yeah. We'll make sure we get University. That out, too, when you do it. All right, last question for you. Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, three other golfers that you would like to play a round of golf with.
John Daly
is
number one,
yeah,
hands down, just for the things he might accidentally say.
not might accidentally say, he will say.
And some stuff on purpose that he would say. So number one, John Daly. I still think the greatest golfer of all time is probably Jack Nicklaus.
Okay.
So in his prime, I would love to see him – and probably Tiger Woods, you know, play and John Daly comment on, you guys ain't nothing, watch this, and bomb it 30 yards further than both of them down the
right.
Fairway.
Or you ain't seen nothing, ain't, watch this.
Yeah, hey, hold my beer for me. Yeah, that's right, man. I love that guy.
Joe, man, thanks so much for the time. Enjoyed it. And best of luck in your career.
Appreciate it.
I know you're still churning out songs. And if you ever get that golf song churned out, I mean – you know, we'll play it.
The key is to have a golf song that's pleasant, but the way most of us really address the game isn't. So we have to find some kind of happy medium there. Yeah.
This has been fun. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
This is Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. Looks like this podcast has really taken off. The guests are incredible. Stories are captivating. It might be Trey's hard work and dedication to the sport of golf and his sincere interest in his guests. Or could be the support of an 85-year-old auction company that does real estate and industrial auctions all over the country and is owned by a guy that doesn't play golf worth a flip. You guys listen to the podcast. I think you know the answer. If you want to learn about the game of golf, listen to Trey. If you want to know about auctions, call me. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
That's going to do it for this edition of From the Shortgrass. Before we go, I need to tell you about Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group. Blair Allen, Matthew Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure it's a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group property that you're staying in. And also, I've had some questions about the Simmons Bank Championship that's coming to Pleasant Valley Country Club, part of the PGA Tour Champions. Stay tuned to From the Shortgrass. We're going to give you all the information about volunteer opportunities, when you can get tickets, all of that information. We know the date. We just don't know who will be here, but you will know that it's going to be the top of the top of the PGA Tour Champions, the best of the best, because it is the second leg in their Tour Championship for the Charles Schwab Cup. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You've been listening to From the Shortgrass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.